Now, growing up, my brother and I, we had this routine on Friday nights for years. When the news was finishing up, we'd be racing around the house. We'd be getting drinks and popcorn chips, stuff like that. And then we'd grab our covers and we'd make a pallet on the floor. And when we heard the newscaster say, "Do you know where your children are?" My mom and dad knew where us boys were. We were right in front of the TV that week for the creature feature. How many of you remember that? Yeah, I mean, we couldn't wait to find out what two movies were going to be featured that evening. Now, my brother, he liked the sci-fi stuff. But I liked the vampires, Dracula, werewolves, zombies, that kind of stuff. I liked the scary stuff. My brother, not so much. I don't know why. I mean, what you should know, my brother's 4 years younger than me. And we would be watching like a vampire movie, watching Dracula. And I could always tell when my brother was getting scared because he would pull the covers up around him. And they would get higher and higher. And so usually, as I saw that happening, I would say something like, "Whoa, dude, I'm feeling really weird. I'm getting kind of dizzy. You know, I don't know what's wrong, but something's going on inside me." And the whole time, my brother, he's glued to the TV. Covers are getting higher. And I knew he was really, really scared when all I could see were his eyes. And so when I saw his eyes, at that point, I knew. I mean, I would kick into action at that point. He's looking out, and I'd reach around behind him. It's what brothers do, by the way. And then I would grab him on the other side, and I would scream something like, "More popcorn?" And I always got a scream out of him. And I developed my art. I mean, I started adding props. You know, things like, remember the plastic vampire teeth? So if we were watching Dracula, I would get my plastic vampire teeth, and I'd reach around him, I'd grab him, he'd turn, he'd scream, then he'd look back at me, and I'd go, and I'd get a double scream out of him. And then at that point, usually, he would get his covers and head clear across the room to a chair. And if I got the trifecta, he would get his covers and go to bed. Now, a little confession. I still like those kind of movies. And here's the reason why. Partly, I can actually just watch them and enjoy them. Because my tendency is when I'm watching a movie or a show, the whole time I'm kind of working. I see a scene and I think, I could use that in a message sometime. You know, that was a really good scene about forgiveness or communication or whatever. And so I find myself working, but if I'm watching a creature feature, that kind of thing, I'm not working. There's no way I'm going to get in the pulpit and say, "Well, you know, Dracula said," and, you know, it's not going to happen. Oh, wait a minute. So much for that, huh? Walking Dead. Popular TV show. It's in its fourth season. Just got renewed for a fifth season. And it's based on the comic book series by the same name. And the story centers around people trying to survive in this post-apocalyptic world, a world that's dominated by zombies. Now, I'm just curious, how many of you watch the show? All right. How many of you do not want anyone to know that you watch the show? I find it really funny. I'm a person that observes, and I notice in society that things become hip, and then they're out, and then they're in. A few years ago, vampires became really hip, and so we saw a lot of shows coming out on that. Now, zombies are in, you know. And I wonder, you know, zombies? How many of you like zombies? I mean, what do you think about when I say zombie? Do you think about a creature that's kind of gruesome, kind of gross, you know, that kind of move around slowly, aimlessly? They're wandering, they're not sure where to go. I mean, we use that term a lot, don't we? Zombies. I mean, if you go a few days and you don't sleep well, you go, I'm going to be a zombie at work. Watching football yesterday, ball hits the receiver right here. And I'm thinking, seriously, he's a zombie. He dropped it. How many teachers? Let me see teachers. Have you ever sat in class and you're teaching and the whole time you're thinking, I am talking to a bunch of zombies? Been there, done that. I might be doing that right now, huh? Here's a news flash. There are zombies in the house. I mean, you might be sitting next to a zombie right now. You might be a zombie. You know, we're going to talk about The Walking Dead. And here's the thing about zombies. Most zombies don't know they're zombies. You know, it's like when you're asleep. You don't know you're asleep. When you wake up, you're like, oh, I was sleeping. Zombies, it's time to wake up. God did not design you to live life like a zombie, wandering around aimlessly in life, tired, exhausted. He didn't create you to shuffle through in kind of a numbness because of the pressures and the stress of life. You were not created to live that way. You weren't. But just an observation, many people go through life that way. And as I watch them, they're merely existing. Walking dead. You know, in this series, what I want to do is remind us that we are created fearfully and wonderfully, created by God for a purpose. You know, my hope and prayer is that we reclaim life. You know, that we find purpose, that we have joy and peace. Doesn't mean our lives are perfect, but that we experience that. It is how God designed us. He designed us so that we would find life. You know, Jesus said it this way. He said the thief, he's talking about the evil one, Satan, says the thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come in order that you might have life. Life in what? All its fullness. Now, I don't know about you, but I want that. You know, I want life. I want life to its fullest. I want the abundant life. I do not want a zombie experience. I don't want that kind of existence. Walking dead. So today, I want to look at something very, very simple, very foundational, but is life-changing. You know, through the years, I have noticed something about Christians. Some Christians are roamers in their life. They kind of wander through life like this. They're a Christian, but you kind of go, what are you doing? And what I have found with the roamer is it's pretty predictable. You know, they'll be at church for a couple weeks, and you see them, and you go, they look pretty normal. They got some life in them. And then they disappear. They disappear sometimes for a couple weeks, sometimes a couple months, sometimes longer. And then they wander back through the doors one day into church. And many times I can see them as they're coming in, weary, tired, beaten, defeated. Zombies. Walking dead. Then they're at church for a couple weeks in a row, and you see them. Got a little more energy, a little more joy. But then they disappear again. And thus the cycle continues. And here's the deal. They seem totally unaware of the life-giving value of gathering and worshiping. See, it's a church thing. It's a first day of the week thing. It's a key, foundational, to living life, living the abundant life, the joyful life. It's a key, I believe, to avoiding shuffling through life with no meaning and exhausted. God is the God of firsts. You know, God is the God of firsts. Give God the first day of the week, and what happens is God blesses the rest of the week. You know, give God a portion of your income, God blesses the rest of your income. Give God the first part of your day, and friends, He will bless the rest of your day. God's a God of firsts. Let me ask you, why did you come to church today? You know, there are lots of possible answers to that. I mean, for some of you, I'm just tired of football. I mean, since the Steelers aren't in, who cares? Might as well go to church. For some of you, someone forced you. I see that a lot, especially the first month of the new year. If you go out in the parking lot, you'll see like heel marks where someone's been drugged to church, you know. Yeah. Maybe you won a bet. Maybe you lost a bet. That's why you're here. Yeah. Maybe you started dating someone that attends Faith Fellowship, and by being here, it kind of keeps you in the game, you know. There are lots of reasons. Some of you, you're here for a deeper reason, a much deeper reason. The Hebrew writer says, let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more, since you see the day of the Lord is coming near, the return of Christ is coming near. See, gathering together, it is an important step to getting on track in life. If you neglect that, neglect the gathering and the worshiping, I believe it leads to that zombie existence. You know, Scripture teaches that the serious-minded Christ follower, that they'll rearrange their life. They rearrange their priorities. They rearrange their schedule to honor the Sabbath. You know, Luke 4:16, it's on the Sabbath. Scripture says that Jesus went to the synagogue as was his custom, is what Scripture says. And I believe if the one that we worship, the one that we follow, made it his custom to gather and to worship on a weekly basis, as Christians who bear his name, I mean, none of us should do less. It's something I believe that you got to get straight in your head. That sense of first day of the week, it's not a question. I don't know. See how we feel. But you're there. You're there. You get careless on this, and it seems like a small thing, but you get careless on this, and I believe you start living like this. You lose perspective. You lose energy. You lose joy. I mean, who are you going to follow? Who are you going to follow? I believe we should follow the example of the one that we worship. Now, why else should we gather at church? Well, friends, I have found the church to be the place where I can be touched by God. Now, granted, God can touch you and touch me anywhere, anytime. And God's done that, and he's probably done that in your life. But it's in worship, as we give God the first portion of our time, as we look to him in a way that I believe doesn't happen in our busy, busy weeks. It's in worship that we have the possibility of being touched. In fact, I think it exponentially increases when we gather here. I remember years ago, I was on vacation, and we attended a little church, and I'll be careful, I say this, the congregational singing was not very inspiring, all right? And the message, I just couldn't track with it. I was really having to work hard. But near the end of the service, a elderly woman got up to sing, and she went over to the organ, and she started singing, "Give It All to Jesus." And friends, she sang with such conviction that about halfway through that song, I realized that I was just carrying all this weight. You know, I was coming off a tough season in my life, but I'd been carrying it so long, I just didn't even really realize it. And I remember, as she's singing, I just closed my eyes and I started praying, and I just said, "God, it's yours." And God just took that weight off of me. You know, my heart, my faith was kind of re-energized. Now, my spiritual confidence was kind of boosted at that point. Now, as she's singing, I mean, my circumstances, they hadn't changed. And I had kind of hit a point in the service where I didn't know I needed anything. And I definitely didn't expect anything. But here's the deal. I left that service, and my burden was lighter. I walked out of there and I thought, I'm glad I went to church today. And the fact that I remember that highlights in my spirit the importance of gathering in worship, allowing God to touch us. Now, just curious, how many of you have ever been touched during a church service, whether it's here or somewhere else? Let me see your hands. All right, look around you for a minute. Keep your hands up. That should tell us something. I mean, let me press this a little bit further. We all have family and friends, maybe that are far from God. What do you hope happens when you invite them to church and they come to church? I mean, the night before they come, what are you praying for? As you're driving to church, you know, what are you asking God to do? Maybe as you're sitting through the service, what are you hoping? Friends, I believe most of us are hoping that they'll be touched by God. That sometime during the 70 minutes that we gather and we worship, that something supernatural will happen to them. So that maybe afterwards, maybe in here, maybe out in the commons, maybe at lunch, What you hope is to hear them say something like, I don't know how to explain it, but something happened this morning. And then maybe you spend the rest of lunch kind of unpacking things. See, I love conversations like that. It is not much of an overstatement to say that I live for them. To be able to have a conversation with someone, to reach out and have them tell me that they connected with God in some way through faith fellowship. You know, to share a moment where they were unmistakably touched that something happened. See, I believe most of us hope that every time we come to church, every time we invite a family member or a friend and they come, that we hope to be touched by God in some way. And now I'm going to get terribly practical here. If you're going to get touched by God at church, you got to be here, right? That's pretty practical. And if I'm going to get touched by God here at Faith Fellowship, when do you think that might happen? I mean, is it likely to happen as you're pulling in, parking the car, wrestling with the kids, checking the kids into the zone, checking your emails before service, during service? I see you. Maybe, all right? Probably not. What I have observed over the years, that we are likely to be touched by God during worship. Maybe a song. Maybe a drama. Maybe a video. Maybe a message. Maybe a prayer. But most likely, the catalyst happens in here. Do you agree with that? I mean, if I honestly engage and ask God to speak to me through a service, no matter what type of music, no matter who the teacher is, odds are pretty high that God will speak and God will touch me. And I've learned through the years, responsibility is on me. See, if I sit back in church, even this church, and if I cross my arms, you know, kind of do a, all righty, show me what you got. Rock my world, get with it, I've got places to be and things to do. If that's my attitude, odds are pretty high I will leave church with a critical spirit, an unchanged heart, and I can keep doing this. It will happen with great regularity if that's my attitude. But if I humble myself, no matter what the service is like, even if I go, I didn't like any of the songs this morning, if I pray right before I walk through the doors of this place, and I just say, God, speak to me, I'm listening, God will routinely touch me. Every once in a while, God will rock me. Worship matters, teaching matters. Matters. Every heart needs that injection of insight, inspiration. It is life-giving. I mean, you might be touched through the worship. You might be touched through a conversation with someone before or after the service. You know, God speaks profoundly through other people. If you let him do that. Just about every week, I am blessed by conversations I have with people. Sometimes I think I'm a blessing to those people. But there is something powerful that happens when God's people gather, when God's people connect, the body of Christ, that's us. You know, too often I'll talk to someone that's new to church, visiting for the first time, and they'll just get talking. And at some point, I will hear this kind of story where they begin to share. And they'll begin to tell me about a lot of pain in their life. You know, maybe a divorce or a serious illness, or they've lost a loved one close to them, or they're facing some kind of a challenge or a struggle, broken dreams. And they'll tell me how they were part of another church. And the reason why they're visiting is because they're looking for a church. Because they realized in the midst of their pain that they were in a crowd. And they're alone. And friends, those stories, they have bothered me for more than 30 years of ministry. It gripped my heart. You know, we are not going to let that happen at Faith Fellowship. You know, since we started this church, since its inception, we wanted this to be a place where no one walks alone. You know, where people connect. You know, on a large scale and on a small scale, where they're sharing and they're connecting and they're encouraging and they're checking in on one another and they're developing the kind of relationships where you're sharing life. So that when you hit those challenges, those hardships, you're not walking alone, but you got a brother or sister coming up and walking with you. You know, I know that sometimes that develops organically. You know, it starts, you're grabbing coffee out at the cafe, and you see someone, and there's that moment, and you finally go, hi. But then you start talking. And then you start connecting. And I just want to say, true connection, it goes beyond, hi. A little warmer this week, isn't it? It's something richer and deeper. You know, last week, weather was bad. And the crowd was a bit thin here. All right? There were about 90 of us in here. And something really hit me. I mean, I've always known this, but everybody still sat in their normal spots. We're scattered through the whole place. Yeah. Hey, how you doing over there? I had four visitors, different families with us last Sunday, and so they're scattered throughout too, so it's kind of interesting. But what if we leveraged our seating tendencies? I mean, all right, how many of you sit in the same spot every week or close to it? It's okay. I think it's a fine thing. I take notes in the back. Yep, there they are. There they are. But what if we leveraged that tendency and decided that over the next few months we were going to get really intentional about connecting? And we're going to get to know everybody that's two rows in front of us and two rows behind us. And I know the back row people are going, cool, I only got two rows to deal with. Four rows in front of you. If you're sitting in the front, four rows behind you. Could you imagine what could happen? Friends, there every week, there are people who are hurting, struggling, looking for a word of encouragement. God can touch you through a conversation. Christians, we are the body. God can use you to touch someone. We want to be a church that has a passion for people, that radically love people, that we are insanely welcoming to people, God-honoring, where new people are treasured, not just tolerated, treasured, where burdened, broken people can find people who care, who are willing to carry a burden, who are willing to give a word of encouragement, who are willing to pray with them. You know, some of you, right now, God's touching you. Because you're looking around you and you're thinking, I could impact this section for God. I could impact this section for God. I am going to start paying attention. I'm going to start taking notes. I'm going to start having some conversations that breathe life into people. Some of you have that kind of relational IQ, I call it. You are emotionally aware. There's something that you see. You don't even have to know the person, but you just see it. And you know that they're struggling, or that something's going on, or that they just need a word. You know, you see people and you know that there's something eating at them. You can tell it. You can tell when someone's out of sync. You can read the signs on their face, on their heart. Some of you, it's the Holy Spirit whispering, go talk to them. Maybe you're observant. Maybe you're intuitive. But you got the skills. And friends, if you've got the skills, you need to step up. God gifted you that way. He created you that way. Be bold. Just walk over. It's not difficult. You just walk over and goes, everything okay? Hey, I'm Damon. What's your name? You will be surprised what happens. God will show up in those moments. God will use you to lighten someone's load. He will use you to be a word of encouragement. Now, maybe it goes nowhere. But if that's the case, I guarantee you that when you walk away, that person in their spirit is going, they noticed me. And that alone breathes life into people's lives. We do not want people walking lonely roads alone. Not a faith fellowship. Every time this church gathers, there are people who are hoping to have a conversation with someone, sometimes anyone. They are hoping and they are praying and they are longing for someone to help lighten the load. And friends, this is more than a smile and it's more than a hi. See, no more people being passed over or unnoticed. No more lonely roads. No more walking alone. When God's people gather to worship, God moves in his community. People experience hope. They find encouragement. They find purpose. They find forgiveness. They find strength. They find the power to face the challenges in their life, to overcome the obstacles. They find love and grace and forgiveness. See, God's touching people, moving people from this existence to life. Some of you, you just need God's touch today. You need to start a new year with that kind of knowledge. It's life-giving knowledge that you're starting 2014. That's what I love about New Year's. With a clean slate. I mean, some of you, you think about all the times you've disappointed God, you've disappointed yourself, your spouse, your family, your kids, whatever. And what happens? It weighs you down. And you just need God to wash all those sins away. Clean the slate. Clean the slate in your life. Some of you, you just need to give your life to Jesus Christ. Make him Lord and Savior. I mean, I can't even think of a better way to start the year. It will change everything. Now, some of you just need to lay some stuff down today. Some of you need power in your life, power to break free from some sin that is just dragging you down and destroying you and destroying your family. Some of you need God's touch. You know, maybe in your marriage, maybe in your family, maybe in your finances. Maybe you need God to heal something on the job front. Here's the deal. One of the reasons we gather is to worship God, but it's also so that God can touch us. One of the reasons as Christians we gather is so that we can touch others, that God can touch others through us. You know, some of you just need to linger after service. You know, allow God to touch you. Some of you need to come down front. We have prayer teams down here. Just let someone pray for you. You know, you're at the share what it is, just say, pray for me. I need God's touch. Some of you, you just need to look around you and have a conversation. God will help lead that. God wants to touch your life. You know, the primary vehicle through which God touches lives, it's the church. That's how God touches lives. Some of you, simple resolution. You just need to renew your commitment to being here each week, gathering. How many of you believe this could be a more radically loving place? Anybody? See, I have this strong sense of confidence. I was with leaders yesterday spending some time, and I just said, you know what? This year, God's going to do some amazing stuff. I believe it will be a year to remember. You don't want to miss it. You don't. You want to be a part of it. You want to get down out of the stands and get on the field of faith. Just say, you know what? I'm all in. I'm here. I would challenge you to make it a priority. It will change how you live. It will change how you feel. It will change your perspective. You won't have a perfect life. That doesn't exist. But you won't have to live like this, just wandering around, exhausted, tired, ran down. You can live life. You can have life abundantly, full of joy, peace, hope. It's life. You know, we'll pick this up next week and start getting real practical with how do we find that abundant life. But let's stand for a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, I know there are those here today, they're weary, tired. They need a word of encouragement or hope. I know there are those that dreams are broken. They're looking for healing in their life. God, I pray that today we make that day that we say no more. No more aimless, exhausted living. I want that joy. I want that peace. God, I pray that you continue to use us as a church. God, I look forward to each time we gather because it is life-giving. And we give you the praise for that. And we thank you for that. God, we give it all to you today. Whatever it is, help us to be people of faith, to trust you. Use us to make a difference in people's lives, Lord. We give you the glory, the praise this day. God's people said, amen.